When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
We gotta wait for it. Hold on. Hold!
There we go. 2-7. We might as well get out of that.
All right, let's go on this Monday morning. We opened the show mainly on the Mets. I sprinkled in a little Yankees. We'll get to them more now. But both these teams had important series against bad teams that right now, with where they are, with the way the Mets open their season, and with the way the Yankees have played for the last 2 months or so, they've given themselves no room for leeway. You cannot have stub my toe against the Angels. Oh, stub my toe against the last place Blue Jays. We traded everybody away. Which, speaking about that, what the hell are the Angels doing? I mean, could you be more inept? We're talking about the Angels. They lost. Somehow they beat the Mets 2 out of 3. But they are falling apart. They are as bad as, and they have legit, now I guess Rengifo is still dealing with a wrist injury, so maybe teams didn't like the medicals, but man, oh man, how do you not do anything? You've lost Mike Trout for the whole year. I mean, your team is in absolute shambles. You got Tyler Ward. I mean, you got options of people to move. They do nothing. At least the Blue Jays traded away IKF and Biggio and some other pieces along the way. Kikuchi trying to do something. Anyway, two series that you just can't lose. You win them. You don't take any bows. You don't, ring. You don't, give the victory formation. You don't go too crazy about it, but you can't lose them. And that's why yesterday was swing games for both teams, including the New York Yankees, who came out on the right direction. And this is a game, again. All right, this is what I'm saying. I'm not going to tell you the Yankees are now on fire. The Yankees are back. All that stuff. It's all nonsense. Here's what I'll tell you. This is a game they lost 9 times out of 10 during their miserable baseball of the last 2 months. That's just a fact. Especially they give up the lead late in the game off an error in center field, which I'm going to get to a little bit later when I talk about Boone. I want to get to Aaron Boone a little bit. Obviously a big weekend for him. Friday night he benches Gleyber Torres. That's where this series started, with a bad pitching performance from Marcus Stroman, who's a real issue right now for the New York Yankees. He has been brutal. You've finally gotten some life and some pulse out of Rodon here, and you feel a lot better about him as of late. But right now, Stroman just, he lives in the middle of the plate, and we know he doesn't have the stuff. Like I just mentioned Rodon. Rodon occasionally can live in the strike zone because his stuff is good enough. You cannot live in the middle of the zone if you're Marcus Stroman, and that's where he's trying to live over the last 3 or 4 starts, and it's been brutal. And he puts them behind the eight ball there in that game. And then, obviously, Gleyber Torres hits one off the wall, doesn't run it out. Boone pulls him out of the game. And a good moment for Boone. I'm going to get to Boone in a little bit because I have some thoughts on it. I have some thoughts on how he handled it that night. And I have some thoughts on some of the media and fan reaction to the moment as well. And obviously, the error cost them in the seventh. But when they have a game where they're losing early, they come back and tie it, and that's really one of the storylines of the game as well, the small ball or the athleticism that Jazz has now brought to the team. And I love the two of them hitting back-to-back. I love Jazz and Volpe back-to-back in the order. I think it creates a lot of athleticism right there. You get the double steal in this game, which led to 2 runs on 2 outs, which is something this Yankee team doesn't do. And that's back to what my point was. This team loses this game the last 2 months. Whether it's Cole being at to start the game, then he finds it. Then it's obviously, falling behind. Then it's, they don't score runs on outs. They don't manufacture runs like this 2 months ago. Jazz has completely changed. He didn't come to Yankee Stadium and kill it so far. He hasn't hit 4 home runs in 3 games or anything. But the nature of him and Volpe on the base path together, and Volpe has just absolutely turned it on. He hit a home run Saturday. He's been unbelievable since the All-Star break, OPS over 1,000. But the two of them on base at the same time leads to the double steal, which leads to options, including scoring on ground balls and sacrifice flies. And the Yankees play a little small ball to get back into the game. But when they take the lead with the Soto home run, and then they blow it with Canley on the mound, who loses it a little bit in the eighth, right, as the rain's approaching, and they have a miscommunication in the outfield that leads to a leadoff double, or a leadoff two-run, two-base error. That run comes in to score on a sac fly where Clay Holmes has to come in, who had no stuff. Clay Holmes comes in, another element that they, Clay Holmes comes in, he has no, his breaking ball, which he continues to throw, he threw a first-pitch sinker to Kirk. And Kirk hits the sacrifice fly. He has to come in with the bases loaded, one out. A tough spot for any reliever, including Clay Holmes. But you're hoping to get the ground ball there. Instead, he throws a sinker right over the middle of the plate up that Kirk just misses hitting a grand slam. Instead, it's a sacrifice fly, game tied. He manages to get out of that inning, throwing nothing but breaking balls from that point on. He was afraid of his sinker. He didn't have good stuff. And thank for the rain delay, because honestly, I don't think bringing him back would have been the right move. And that's probably what the Yankees would have done. But to go into extra innings after blowing a one-run lead because of an error like that, that is a game this Yankee team has lost. They've been terrible in extra innings. And to come back and win that game and to get the pitching performances you got from the bullpen, including Leiter, who comes in and gives you a clean 10th inning and doesn't allow a run for the second time in his Yankee tenure, the short Yankee tenure, second time extra inning performance without giving up a run. And then for DJ LeMahieu, of all people, after small ball and bunting, now that's the one spot in extra innings where it makes absolutely sense to bunt. If you're the home team and you don't give up a run in the 10th, how in the world do you not bunt the runner over to third? I mean, unless Aaron Judge is up, I suppose. But that is a win that they haven't had over the last 2 months. That's what feels different about this team since that Saturday night in Boston. One, the offense is scoring runs at 7-8 runs a clip, other than yesterday. And it just feels like they're finding ways to win again. And the bullpen had the addition of Leiter. And it just feels a little bit like a different team right now. But that is a great win. And a win that you just, listen, you can't lose it. It's more of a whew than it is a, you know, devastatingly good win. It's avoiding a devastating loss. Because as you're embarking on a homestand, right? You're going to play a lot of home games over the rest of the year. They've been terrible at home during this bad stretch of baseball. You can't open up this homestand losing 2 of 3 to the last place Blue Jays. You just can't. And they're able to avoid that. And DJ LeMahieu, and we can have a conversation about a lot of these guys. DJ LeMahieu, his at-bats today, or yesterday now, were all positive. He hit a rope to third base. He hits the sacrifice fly earlier in the game. He hits the base hit 100 miles an hour up the middle when they bring in 5 infielders to try and keep that run from scoring. And I know everybody at home is saying, you can't pinch hit him. I don't care who it is. You can't have DJ LeMahieu up there. Twice with a runner on third and less than 2 outs he came through. He comes through with the base hit to win the game. He had 6 RBIs. We all know the game in Philadelphia. And I've been clamoring for DJ LeMahieu to be designated for assignment. And it's you're welcome, Yankee fans, because as soon as the words came out of my mouth, this guy has started to turn it around. And he's driving the baseball, and he's hitting it hard. He's not just pounding into the ground. He's hitting it hard. He had a grand slam and a two-run double against Philadelphia. He comes through, and besides just even the outs were hit hard. He looks like a different player. Now, it's a short sample size, and by no means am I saying DJ LeMahieu has arrived. But DJ LeMahieu can be a very good player if this hit has returned. And I'm starting to wonder, as much as Gleyber Torres came through with a couple hits, and we all know the benching on Friday night, which was 100% correct, and Boone handled it exactly right. Finally, you want to say Boone took too long? We'll get into the Boone conversation. But Gleyber Torres at second base, we know his issue defensively. We haven't seen DJ LeMahieu play a lot of second base lately. He's won a gold glove there. You know he's a talented second baseman. You know at least, at the very least, he's not going to boot a ball hit right to him, which is the fear of Gleyber Torres. if DJ LeMahieu is going to show you enough offensively, you start to wonder if the best version of this team has DJ LeMahieu at second base. Now, this is just having a conversation real quick off a couple of games. Gleyber Torres still has been the better hitter, and I'm not ready to just make that move. Clearly, that'd be asinine. But he's going to get some more run. I think he's earned a little bit more run. Now, you can't take Jazz out of the lineup, but you can take DJ out. And on days you don't DH Stanton, if you give Stanton a day off, maybe you don't have to DH Judge every time Stanton doesn't DH. Maybe you can DH a Gleyber Torres or DJ LeMahieu or Jazz Chisholm and play guys at third base. But DJ LeMahieu, at the top of his game, is a better player than Gleyber Torres and is a player this offense much needs. So I think hopefully now that you've seen back-to-back games, where he's in the starting lineup and he produces and the swings look better and the contact is harder and the clutch nature of it all seems a little bit better, I think DJ LeMahieu is a legitimate option now for the Yankees moving forward a little bit. Now he's earned the run. I'm no longer clamoring to DFA him. I think he's earned the run. But that's a big win that they couldn't have afforded to lose. And to bounce back off that error, which is a disaster of a play, and to give up that run, and to Clay Holmes to come in. And here's Clay Holmes. Let's give him credit for a second. Clay Holmes comes in. He's had great stuff, even in blowing the save to Philadelphia, had good stuff. You can say it doesn't matter, hits or hits, that's fine. He had good stuff and was getting bad swings and weak contact. He had nothing in this game. He came in with one out, bases loaded, didn't blow the game, managed to keep it at one, gave the Yankees a chance to come back and score offensively. And then the other talking point of this game is the Blue Jays and pitching around Aaron Judge. Now, it kind of goes team to team because we saw the Mets absolutely walk him at every turn. Then he goes to Boston and Cora pitched to him at every turn. And now you get to Toronto where they pitched to him in the first inning of Saturday and then never pitched to him again. And they would walk him with bases empty. Obviously, Soto hits the double, and I'm going to have a conversation about Soto's double and maybe the way Soto needs to rethink plays like that, especially late in game with Judge behind him. But Soto hits the double. Obviously, that's an easy walk decision. It's up to Wells. It's up to Stanton, guys that need to come through. Stanton left a small village on the base path last night in yesterday's game. He's going to have to start to get a swing into line. Wells is going to be so important for this team. Everybody hitting behind Judge is absolutely important. And that's why I've even talked about it. I know it's going to be a talking point as he's getting walked, flip-flopping Soto and Judge. That's going to be a conversation that's going to come from this game because now Judge, who clearly is the best hitter in baseball, is getting walked at every turn. He's getting walked at every turn. And they're going to continue to do it because they've been successful with it. And I've been talking about this for a while that I'm open to the idea. I don't think the Yankees have to do it just yet. They've been winning. I don't know if you have. They've been scoring runs. I don't know if you have to do it just yet, but I do like the idea of flip-flopping them only because the walk is so much a part of Soto's game anyway. Now, Judge walks a lot too, but a lot of it's being pitched around with this lineup. Soto's game is the walk. And I know they'll probably walk Soto too. That's the argument. The argument is, well, okay, great. Now they walk Soto. You're still eliminating one of your two great hitters. I get that. And in some cases, they might do that. But as much as I love Juan Soto, he is not Aaron Judge. He's not. He is not the same hitter Aaron Judge is. He's not nearly as dangerous. He does. He won't take you deep on any pitch the way. I mean, he can. He's capable. He took a sinker the other way for a 400-foot home run in this game. He's not as dangerous as Aaron Judge. But walking is such a part of Soto's game that I don't mind it as much. Soto lays down bunts when the third base is playing back. Soto gets on base. Soto's a different ball player than game-changing swing at every at-bat type player that judges. Soto is a great all-around player who can hit the home run, who obviously can drive the baseball, but he does a lot of different things. He walks as a major part of his game. He's led Major League Baseball and walks three consecutive years. He'll lay down a bunt if the guy's back. You know, he's into productive outs. He's battling every pitch. He doesn't leave the strike zone. He's a little bit different. I don't mind flip-flopping them and then Soto walks because that's part of his game anyway. I want Judge pitch to. So There's been some discussion of hitting him leadoff, Judge. I think that's a great. It doesn't even have to go second and third. Hit Judge leadoff. He gets the most at bats, and there's real no answer for it right now. The Yankees don't have a leadoff hitter. Right now, it's Verdugo against righties for the most part, and Torres against lefties. That is not a leadoff hitter. They don't have one. I have no problem putting Judge down, and I'm not moving Volpe now. You're kidding. You must be crazy, because as stupid as I think it is necessarily to blame his slump on moving to leadoff, he was killing it. They moved him to leadoff. He went into a month-long slump. Now he's back hitting 6th, 7th, 9th, whatever, 8th, whatever the case may be, at the bottom of the order, and he's on fire. I ain't touching it. I love his speed and production on the bottom of the order. I love it. Him and Jazz back-to-back, 6th, 7th, 7th, 8th, whatever the case may be, getting on base, creating runs, giving the opportunity for either Grisham to bunt or just hit a ground ball to second base. Or like, that's what I want. I want them. Do not move Volpe back up to the top of the order. Put Judge there. Give him the most at-bats. Judge, Soto, Wells, Stanton. That's what I would do. I think that's a reasonable discussion. I think that makes sense. Because you can't just, he's going to get walked in every big spot. And that's why, real quickly, Soto needs to change his thinking, because that game, when he gets the double late in that game to set up second and third, two outs, you know Judge is getting walked there. You know it. And I talked about this on Twitter, and I understand it's very difficult in the moment. But Soto needs to be told on some level, and Soto needs to understand that he's got, and he said in the postgame that he hates it, right? They asked Soto about Judge being walked behind him. And he said, it sucks. I wish they would challenge him. I'm trying to do everything I can to get him pitched to. And he is. He's doing great. He's having a great year. They both are. But here's the one thing I'll say. In that play where Soto hits the ball down the line, two outs, stay at first base. I know that's hard to do when you're a baseball player and you see a ball in the corner. But it makes no sense to go to second base. It really doesn't. It makes no sense to try and get a double. Keith McPherson tweeted back at me, said, hey, he's trying to make money, extra base hits. I don't think that's it. It's baseball. He's went in the gap. He's got an opportunity for a double. He takes it. But with two outs and the game tied or down a run, I need Judge pitch to. And you cannot go to second base, if you think about it, on a bunch of different things. One, he obviously hurts himself, but forget that. That's just a fluke thing where he jammed his wrist or hand. Hopefully he's okay. But you run the risk of getting thrown out at second base. You run the risk of getting thrown out. If you stay at first base, there's a chance. I think they still walk Judge, but there's a chance they pitch the Judge with a runner on first and two outs. Maybe there's a chance, as opposed to putting, especially if you're down a run, the idea of putting the tying run at second base, maybe that gets Judge pitched to. But I'll take my chances with Judge getting pitched to, or what they do is walk, and then you're at second base anyway. It's not worth the risk. That was a close play. Him getting thrown out at second base, it's not worth the risk right now in those kind of situations, especially with two outs. I want Judge pitched to. And I know it's blasphemy to say don't, and especially in a time frame where the Yankees are getting killed for hustle and they got to pull guys off the field for not hustling. The idea to say, hey, look, tell Soto, with late game situations, two outs especially, no need to take that extra base. I need Judge pitch to. But that's the case. They would have been better off first and third than they would have been second and third. And he got hurt, and he risked the run of getting thrown out. If he stays at first base, either they pitch the Judge, best case scenario, or two, they walk him and he's standing at second base anyway. So these are all the things you have to, unfortunately, with Judge going the way he's going and what the back end of the lineup. Now look, right now, Wells has been the best hitting catcher over the last month. And hopefully Stanton's going to get back to being a force. I actually thought leading up until today, where he did have the one ball hit hard, to the first baseman on the ground. Up until today, I thought Stanton's at-bats, although he hasn't done anything really except a couple of singles, I thought the at-bats, for what I expected, have been really good. Usually Stanton comes back and he is flailing at that breaking ball in the dirt. He is swinging all over the place and looks completely lost. And he really hasn't looked like that. He had some bad at-bats today and left a bunch of runners on base, killed them in this game. But ultimately, he's going to be there. Hopefully they go about this differently. But if they're going to continue to do that and Soto's going to continue to hit in front of Judge, I know it's crazy. It's a very difficult ask. And ultimately, I'm not sure what you can do, but on some level, you have to be aware, why would I take risks on the base path and open up a base to easily, I mean, the minute he goes to second, it's not even a question. They're walking Judge. Now, they might even walk him first and third, but that's even to my point. Why risk getting thrown out if I'm heading to second base anyway? Why risk getting injured? Why risk turning it on and pulling a hamstring, getting hurt on a slide, getting my finger on a spike? Why would I risk any of that for when my situation's better at first base? I either get the best hitter in baseball pitched to with runners on first and third, two outs, or I get walked anyway and I'm standing on, or he gets walked and I'm standing on second base anyway. These are conversations that I think the Yankees have to have. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls real quick. Carmine in Brooklyn. What's up, Carmine?
Hey, I'm 78 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I'm here in hospice. And all I want to say is that Aaron Judge might be the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. His leadership, his ability to hit home runs, and his ability to lead his organization is unbelievable. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you for making the call.
I'm not going to probably make it through the rest of the week, but...
I hope you do, Carmine. You sound like you still got some life in your voice.
I got a little bit, but they're telling me that, you know, Friday or Saturday will be the day. So, I just wanted to say that about Aaron Judge and be able to advocate for him this week. Thank you.
You got it, Carmine. Be well. Hang in there. You sound good, man. I hope it's Friday or Saturday of 2026. Well, why stop there? Whenever. God bless you, buddy. That's good luck. I'm glad he was able to make the call. He sounded strong. Hang in there, Carmine. Jay and T-Neck, what's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, T?
What's going on, buddy?
I just wanted to... I'm about 3 years younger than you. I've called a few times, and I just want to bring up the point about Boone and Judge in left field. You know, he's starting to push the envelope a little. I never heard of this. He's a center fielder.
He's been fielder his whole career.
Right, but I think he's so comfortable in center.
Mm-hmm.
But be that as it may with that, I think that, it's just like today we almost lost the game over that. I don't know if it's Grissom, Judge nervous. Judge would have corralled that.
That's Grisham's ball. Grisham's got to call off Judge. Judge can't get that close. Judge has got to spin off earlier. But here's my point, Jay, and thank you for making the call. I'm going to get into the Boone stuff in a little bit. I've seen several people say that this is Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge is an outfielder. He's played right field. He's played center. They didn't suddenly show up and say, hey, Judge, you're at shortstop today. He's playing left field. He's communicated with outfielders his whole life. Are we saying, like, we are so quick to blame Boone, to blame management, to blame Brian Cashman in the front office, that we're going to look at that play and say, what the hell are we doing playing Judge in left field? Is that really the take? Like, I get it. They've got to make that play. They're major league outfielders, both of them. Grisham had hit him in the glove. They didn't run into each other. And if they did, that's still on them. He's trying to, he put Grisham because Grisham's the better center fielder. Grisham's a gold glove caliber. Has won two gold gloves in center field. He made a great play the other day on a diving catch to save the game. He's the better center fielder. Grisham doesn't play left field either. Judge was in left field. That's on them. You know what? I don't hear anybody complaining about moving Jazz Chisholm to third base. Not a single person's complaining. Jazz has never played third base in his life. Never played third base at the major league level. They stuck him there. He's made every single play. Not a single person has called me saying, what the hell are the Yankees doing playing Jazz Chisholm at third base? Not a single person. But they blow a play in the outfield, and it's not just what the hell is Judge doing. It's not come on, Grisham. It's how the hell did the manager put them in that situation? They're Major League Baseball players. Aaron Judge is an excellent defensive outfielder, and Grisham has won two gold gloves. They have both dealt with each other. They have both had to deal with outfielders and calling guys off. Everybody knows center fielder gets the ball. That was too close to comfort. It still hit Grisham in the glove. But we never say, oh, my God, what a bum play. How the hell did they? No, it's why would Boone put him there? Not one person has said, wow, how about the Yankees putting Jazz Chisholm and recognizing he can play that position? Look at how good he's been there. Good for Boone and Cashman recognizing that was the way to go and not moving. And I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying nobody points that out. But one dropped ball in the outfield, and suddenly it's like, well, what the hell is Judge even doing out there? Why is Boone putting him out there? I don't get it, man. I'm not saying he's Miller Huggins. He's had plenty of problems. And if the Yankees don't win this year, I'm moving on. That's fine. But like, there's a drop ball in the outfield, and we bend over backwards to figure out how it's Boone's fault. We will do anything. We will forgive anybody's poor play. We will never blame. We will do anything to try and blame Boone or the front office at every single turn. It drives me bonkers, bro. It drives me absolutely bonkers. He's got plenty to answer for. Plenty. Because you know what? He did cultivate a little bit of an atmosphere. I just happen to think it's two players. I think Grisham in specific, three players really. Torres, who's been a habitual line stepper when it comes to hustle and everything else. You know who's worse? Verdugo. Watch Verdugo. Every ground ball, he does not run hard to first base. Every single one. And Grisham has had lazy moments in the outfield. I don't know if you want to call that one of them. But, like, it comes with some personal responsibility. And Boone said he's had some grace. And I agree, certainly with Torres, who he got as a young player. He should have nipped this in the bud. And I get on Boone for it. No doubt. And I've talked about the idea of not only that, the laziness and the hustling and the lack of hustle that's been allowed to go on, but also the, hey, we're the Yankees, we'll be fine, has been an attitude cultivated too much in this organization. And I felt like it changed at the beginning of the year. And Judge talked about it at the end of last year, and they've talked about it, and I felt like it changed in many ways when they were winning at the start of this year. And I'll get on Boone for that, and rightfully so, but what I won't get on Boone for is playing a gold glove caliber outfielder like Aaron Judge in left field. When there's a little more room there, and I'd rather keep Soto in right. Like, it's just, that's what we're going to get nuts about. And then the other great one is he pulls. I can't tell you how many people hit me up with this one on Twitter. And I know Jack Curry said it in the postgame. He pulls Glaber. He finally does it. And if your argument is too little, too late, that's a fair argument. You want to say it should have been done years ago? Fair argument. What is not a fair argument and what I don't agree with is that he's got to handle it differently in the press conference. I'm sorry, I don't agree with it. He's got to answer every thought in his head and why this is different. And he's got to give us more there. Why does he have to give us more there? He took the guy out of the game clearly for not hustling. They argued in the dugout. He's got to tell you what was said in that argument? Now we get all these, the writers who haven't said a damn thing. I haven't read many stories about the lack of hustle and Boone's problem with it. Or the, like now all of a sudden, not only did he not hustle, and not only did he finally pull him out of the game, but he didn't undress him enough. I guess he's supposed to go out there in the post game and say, "This is why is this different?" Aaron, why is this different with Gleyber Torres this year or this play specifically? He's had other instances and you haven't pulled him. Why is this? Because I'm finally sick of it. He's a bum who doesn't hustle. I've told him 10 different freaking times and he continues to pull this crap and I'm sick of it. And he's not a good enough player to not hustle. That's what, unless he just absolutely tears Gleyber Torres apart, we're not going to be happy with it. He pulled him off the field. He yelled at him in the dugout. It's crystal clear why he got taken out of the game. Why this one and not that one, and why that one and not this one? He has to answer it. He has to give you his precise thought process on the whole thing. No, he doesn't. Now, I'd prefer him not to get a little, annoyed by all the questions because you knew they were coming. That part I get. No need to give a little bit of an attitude. But the idea that, and Jack Curry comes right on after the postgame, and I respect Jack a lot. He does a great job. I'm not knocking Jack necessarily, but the idea that Boone has to give us more in the press conference, no, he doesn't. He's got to put an end to this crap. And if that doesn't, if Gleyber Torres, if getting benched isn't enough for Gleyber Torres to hustle, if that isn't enough of a message to Grisham, to Verdugo, to anybody else, if pulling players off the field isn't enough, if I need to completely roast them in the postgame, then that's on them. That's no longer on the manager being accepting. The manager pulled him off the freaking field. The manager benched him 2-3 weeks ago, and now the manager pulled him off the field. But that's not enough. He's got to tell us exactly his thought process, and he's got to kill Gleyber Torres further publicly. Otherwise, what did he really do? And God forbid Aaron Judge just made a mistake and attacked the ball too aggressively in left field. The manager shouldn't have put him in that position. Shouldn't have put him in the position of playing left field. Oh, my. It's ridiculous. Judge shouldn't have been that aggressive. And Grisham should have called him off more ferociously and taken charge of the damn play and made the catch. If a lousy career, if Kyle Schwarber's out there, the plays, yeah, okay, great. So I should put like guys who are just comfortable playing left field. He's a outfielder. They didn't say, hey, get your gear on. You're catching today, Judge. Half the fan base wants to put a first base glove on him. Half the fan base calls me up and says, put Judge at first base. Bring up Dominguez, play him in the outfield, give a first baseman's glove to Judge, and play him at first base. That's what they should do to get everybody in the lineup. I've taken call and call after it. That's what they should do. Oh, so it's okay to put Judge at first base, but you can't put him in left field. I know it's a small minority, but I just took a call on it too. People are hitting me up on Twitter. I got a call on it. The idea that play is Boone's fault drives me crazy. Everything's Boone's fault. Everything. A reliever comes in, gives up a run, Boone's fault. Guys drop balls in the outfield, Boone's fault. I mean, unless the Yankees win 162, go 162-0, Boone makes a mistake. It's unbelievable. He's not a great, terrific manager, and he's one that is at the end of his contract here, and there's a very good chance he's not the manager next year. And there's a very good chance that's what should happen. But when professional athletes drop balls in center field, it's not on the manager. When guys don't hustle, can it slightly be on the manager? Yeah, it's on Gleyber Torres, though. It's on Verdugo. It's on Grisham. It's on everybody else who doesn't hustle. Which, by the way, look up and down Major League Baseball. They're not alone in this problem.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 247, McMonagle here with you. Let's get right to the calls. I yapped for a while there. Glenn in Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Glenn?
G-Mac, I heard the rain delay was Boone's fault, too.
I'm pretty sure it was. You know what cracks me? Go ahead. I'll tell it after you're done. No, good. I don't want to take up time on your phone call. Go ahead.
Well, when I saw the lineup posted, I didn't even blink an eye when I saw Judge in left field. It was like, okay, like, you know, it's fine. That could have easily happened if Verdugo was in left and Judge was in center. Verdugo, it was just a misplay.
Verdugo fell down. Verdugo literally, like, for most of the year, led the league in defensive run saves from the left fielder position. He fell down with the game on the line against Baltimore. Anything could happen. The idea that play, like, is significant of a mismanaged roster is so stupid to me.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, listen, I'll be the first to jump on Boone, but I don't see how you can blame Boone for this. But in all seriousness, what will you do about this closer role? Because Holmes is... we talked about this last week. Where would you go with the closer?
Right now, Clay Holmes is my closer. I don't think they have a better option. And again, I know I feel better about him than most Yankee fans do. I still think you look at his stuff. He's got good stuff. I mean, he's got a sinker that's good. He's got a slider that's wipeout. He got Springer to swing and miss. He's striking out about a batter per nine. I think the idea that he never strikes anybody out is a little bit overblown. He does pitch to contact. He needs good defensive infield, and the Yankees struggle with that a little bit. But, I mean, you think Weaver's better? You think Leiter's better?
Leiter looks a little shaky, actually.
And then where do you put Clay Holmes where he's not going to get beat? Like, I love this. Oh, just move him to the eighth inning. I don't view this as a ninth inning thing. The only argument is to say, well, if he gives up runs, we have more time to make it up if it's not in the ninth. But, I mean, you could easily blow a game in the seventh or eighth. Like, if you don't think Clay Holmes is good, then you just don't – and I'm sorry, your line's got a little noise there. If you don't think Clay Holmes is good, then you just don't think Clay Holmes is good. I don't think it's the pressure of the ninth inning necessarily. He's getting beat by drips and drabs, man. He's getting beat by soft contact. That game that he blew against Philadelphia, I mean, they had one ball hard to him. It was the last out of the inning. Everything was like 50, 60 miles an hour off the bat, little slight rollers. Like everything. I'm not saying that I have supreme confidence when Clay comes in. I don't. Clay comes in, the first ball is a ground ball roller in the infield that they can't field. Yeah, I feel like, oh, here we go. We all do. I'm not saying Clay is great. They don't have a better option. They could have went out and traded for somebody. They didn't. I wanted them to. I wanted to be able to tell you, hey, Tanner Scott's the option to close right now. Put him in there. He's not here. I don't think Weaver's the option. I really don't. I mean, he's okay. So then Weaver pitches the ninth, and Clay Holmes pitches the eighth. That's dramatically better for the New York Yankees. I don't see it. I still think Clay Holmes with that sinker, I'm still confident in him. Yesterday, he pretty much did the job. I know he gave up a sacrifice fly. It's a tough spot. The only thing he can't do is give up the lead. The one thing he can't do, you come in, eighth inning, one out, bases loaded, you got to figure out a way to not give up the lead. And that's what he did. Now, it was almost a grand slam, and we're all having a much different conversation about it. Then this whole show is about Clay Holmes. If Clay Holmes gives up that grand slam, the Kirk I open with Clay Holmes, the show's about Clay Holmes. But he didn't. They found a way to win, and I still have faith in Clay Holmes as the leadoff hitter. I just read what Rick wants to talk about. I still believe in Clay Holmes as the closer. I do. They don't have a better option. I think he's one of the better relievers in baseball. He gets a lot of ugly swings and a lot of soft contact, which overall are positive things. I have a concern that sometimes even when he makes his pitch, he gets the soft contact that beats him, and I don't love the defense in the infield right now. I mean, you got Rice at first base, relatively new to the position. Gleyber Torres, who has more errors than everybody at the position at second base. Volpe, all right, besides the a couple errors here or there and the one big one against Baltimore. And now Jazz Chisholm, who's shown great ability to play third base, but, I mean, I don't know how much I trust him. He's brand new to the position. The defense in the infield isn't very good, and that's what scares me most about Clay Holmes, to be honest with you. Jack on the Upper West Side. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jack. How are you?
2 points.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi, I got you.
I'm a first-time caller, but I love the show, and you do a great job.
Thank you.
I have 2 points. One is Alonso, and the other is the malaise that you've seen with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Alonso is pressing, all right? He's been pressing all along.
Yeah.
And he doesn't – the cleanup spot, it doesn't have to be him, right? He doesn't own that. Move him. I'd move McNeil up to third. McNeil is going to be able to move runners along. He's got some power now. And move Alonso down a spot or two, okay? I think he'll be focused more on hitting singles and doubles, and that'll get him going. I don't know.
You think the pressing has to do with where he's hitting in the lineup? I think it's about his contract. I think it's about winning. I don't know. I don't think.
But he's hitting in a spot where very often they're looking for the long ball, right? Because
Yeah, but Pete Alonso's a home run hitter. They're going to be looking for the long ball wherever. I understand your point. I think the point is less about Pete Alonso and more about the team. If you feel he's killing them and you want to put somebody else there to help the team score runs because Pete Alonso hasn't hit well, that's fine. But if you, I don't think. Embarrassing Pete Alonso, but he's never hit worse than fourth. Like, he's never, you're going to move him down to fifth or sixth and make a statement like that to Pete.
Well,
that, hey, I mean, maybe it gets him going. Maybe it does, or maybe he crawls further into the show.
Yeah. The Mets now.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, them being the worst, having the worst record in baseball since the All-Star break runners in scoring. That's very misleading because during that period they won all their games. They either split or won all the series, like 20 games.
I'm sorry, Jack, your phone's breaking up there. I don't think it's misleading. It's a fact. And they've scored enough runs to win. They pitched relatively. They got a couple of blowout victories where they scored a ton of runs against the Yankees and Twins. And they've pitched well enough and come up with just enough hits. But the offense has been, despite the winning, I understand what you're saying. Like, since the All-Star break, they are, let me just double check now. I just had their schedule up. Since the All-Star break, right, they took, they split with Miami, but listen to the runs scored. They scored four, they scored one, and won 1-0 against Miami. So they scored 4 runs in a loss, 1 run in a win. 2 runs in a loss, 6 runs in a win. That's the Miami series. Then they go to New York, then they go to play the Yankees. They score 3 runs in a win, 12 runs in a win. Then Atlanta, 3-8-0-2. 15 against Minnesota, 2-3, and now they go to LA, 5-4-2. They haven't been scoring as many runs. You're right. They split a 4-game set, swept a 2-game set, split a 4-game set, won a 3-game set, and now lost a 3-game set. They haven't lost a series since the end of June and the OMG concert and the Houston Astros series. That's the last time they lost 2 out of 3. So it's been a full month. They went the entire month of July without losing a series. And I'm not saying it's killed them to this point, but right now the race is on. And this offense has been the driving force behind it all. And they haven't been the same offense since the All-Star break. And I'd really like Pete Alonso to get it going.